This is God and Autobiography, the podcast, a dramatic adaptation of the book God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin. He was a lifelong agnostic, but one day he had an occasion to pray. To his vast surprise, God answered in words. Being a philosopher, he had a lot of questions, and God had a lot to tell him. Episode 31. Early in my adventure with God, Abigail and I were vacationing in Maine, staying in a cottage by the bay, a quiet place for reading and reflection. I felt that God wanted to tell me something, so I got very still, but nothing came. However, after a time, I was guided to look at the first page of the book I had brought, Marcel Proust's Remembrance of Things Past. Describing how a dream, at first clearly remembered, fades into incoherence, Proust comments, quote, "Then it would begin to seem unintelligible, as the thoughts of a previous existence must be after reincarnation," end quote. This should be explored, I thought. I always like to trace an idea to its source. The first mention of reincarnation I could find was in the Upanishads. The seer Yajnavalka, the same guy who won all the cows, explains, quote, "As a caterpillar, having come to the end of one blade of grass, draws itself together and reaches out for the next, so the self, having come to the end of one life and dispelled all ignorance, gathers in his faculties and reaches out from the old body to a new," end quote. I had never been attracted to the idea of coming back as somebody else. What could that person possibly be to me? But my disliking an idea didn't prevent it from being true, so I asked, "Lord, is reincarnation true?"
"Yes, and it was part of my revelation to the people of Israel, not just India. I say this to reassure you. Reincarnation is not incompatible with anything in the Bible."
"But Lord, why is there reincarnation? What is the point?"
"Be still a minute."
I quieted myself. "Lord, I get an image of cleansing."
"Yes, that's right. It's like dipping something into a cleaning fluid, rinsing and repeating. Or like dipping a wick in tallow over and over to make a candle, or firing steel several times."
"So it is a way to improve the soul, maybe to purify it?"
"Each life meets a new kind of test, and that is a reason for many lives. Each life needs to be purified, sanctified, made more part of me. Each life is faced with a struggle to do this. The struggle is carried on through successive lives."
"And our personal selves, are they carried on too?"
"Yes, though they differ from one time to the next."
"Is the series of lives cumulative or sequential or progressive?"
"Cumulative in the sense that previous dips add up, but not sequential in the sense of first base before second base."
"Therefore not progressive."
"Progressive in the sense of cumulative, not in the sense of moving up a ladder of success."
"Well, what I'm getting at is whether you move from a low life, even subhuman, to a higher life, a Brahmin or a king or something like that."
"No, you don't. So it is not right to say that if you are poor or sickly or low-born, it is a punishment for a past life."
"So the doctrine of karma is wrong?"
"Not entirely. Whether you succeeded in a previous life determines both how purified you've been and whether you have punched that particular ticket.
If you are getting purer, how could you be a saint in one life and come back as a pirate?
Your soul is pure, even if you are now a pirate, or hot-tempered or weak-willed. In other words, you will not be able to tell in this life, at least from those traits, how purified you have become.
Now I'm puzzled whether there is one Atman or many.
Many. So it might be better to talk about your soul in caps, the soul with a capital S, behind the soul with a small s.
So Jill's Atman or soul is not the same as Jack's. We each have our own soul.
Ask about karma.
Now I understand karma as less a matter of making up for past wrongs and more a matter of which challenges a person needs next.
No, that is not right. Karma is a matter of righting the balance after the imbalances of your previous life. Remember, I've told you, don't feel guilt, just note the consequences. Every action has consequences, and these play out over more than a single lifetime.
And they result in unpaid balances on wrongs that have to be righted in the next life?
Yes, but the correct concept is less a matter of good and evil, right and wrong, less moralistic, and more like, these are the consequences.
Like the Newtonian law that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction?
Yes.
How does this relate to Dharma?
Dharma is the balance within a life.
Relative to one's social roles?
That part was overdone because of Hindu social structure. It is balance in all respects, including the emotional harmonies within the individual, the relation between one's past conduct and one's present attitudes, one's relations to others.
And to nature?
Yes.
And to you?
Of course.
Are you striving for balance too?
Yes, my job is to orchestrate the whole. You, people, can help or hinder that effort.
About this time, I was stricken with a serious pneumonia, which, with repeated relapses, lasted for the greater part of a year. When I returned to prayer, I had lost the thread. Lord, I don't recall where we left off. There seemed to be several ideas related to one another, all a bit unclear to me. First, the Atman is the Brahman.
Stop there. I have told you before that these human notions of identity and non-identity, sameness and difference, are inadequate. That is why I always say, I am you and you are me, in a sense. We have not paused to explicate that sense, and it would not be productive to do so.
Lord, it's still not clear what is reincarnated. I could say the soul or self or essence of who you are, but these are just labels for the mystery. The problem begins with the fact that in the ordinary sense of a person, the reincarnated person, Jerry 2, is a different person from the source person, Jerry 1. They lived at different times, spoke different languages, had different occupations, personalities, tastes, and they share no memories. So if I am Jerry 1, what is Jerry 2? What is Jerry 2 to me? And vice versa.
You know the answer already. The Atman or soul of Jerry 1 and Jerry 2 are the same. And I have told you that the Atman, while it lacks many of your personal characteristics, is not just a generic self, it is distinctively you, and has a history as you, and a concern for you. Think of an actor going from role to role.
So the self with a capital S is to each reincarnated self with a small s, as an actor is to each role he or she might play?
Yes.
Does my Atman or soul have a continuous awareness, as the actor does, and remember the various roles or reincarnations?
Well, remember that time is not what you think it is, and so memory is not exactly apt. But awareness is, and the answer is yes, it does.
Thinking about things you've said, it sounds as if time may be like a long novel, such as a family saga. The story is clearly chronological. The grandmother comes before the granddaughter, but the reader stands outside the chronology, internal to the book, and can open it in the middle or toward the end.
Yes, that is apt if you don't try to build anything too literal from the analogy.
How about this? In a movie, a woman steps into a mirror and finds herself in a different period of history. Theoretically, she could step into or observe any time.
That's an okay analogy.
One might call it the simultaneity of times.
Okay. The key to karma is dharma. Dharma is your duty in your situation.
Lord, is this you talking or me?
It's me. Your duty in your situation is your assignment in this life.
So your duty follows from your assignment?
Yes.
What if you fail?
You come back again.
You mean otherwise you don't?
No, that's not the point. The point is that your task is unfulfilled. It still has to be done in the next life, though it may take a new form.
Do you mean if you fail in courage in this life, courage will be a part of your assignment in the next life?
Something like that.
How long do you keep reincarnating?
Forever. I know that's disturbing to your beginning-to-end mentality. But that mentality is a very narrow view of reality. When you understand time better, it won't be so disturbing.
And between lives, you review how you did?
As I explained before, that view of time is inadequate. There is no between lives. You, your Atman, is viewing your life all along.
Surely there must be some way of gaining lessons.
The lessons are through the living itself. And they are not a means to an end. The living, the fighting, the doing of your duty, your work with me is, you might say, an end in itself. Though the means-ends dichotomies are not very helpful.
So you learn the lessons of life simultaneously with living that life. Is this related to the simultaneity of times? Like a book you can step into at any point in the plot?
Yes, that's fine. It is all, in a sense, seen at once. But that does not mean that time, in the sense of one thing happening first and then another thing, is unreal. It is perfectly real and adequate as an understanding, but it is not the whole picture.
And I gather that outside this world or plane of existence, it's not applicable.
That's right.
And that means that the lives would not really be in a sequence.
The lives are in a kind of sequence. Though that's not the final frame of reference.
If the lives are in a kind of sequence, then is there progress or retrogression or cumulative learning through successive lives?
No, no, and yes. You are not moving forward or backward, but you are learning, adding to your store of wisdom.
So it's not that Jerry Martin knows more than his earlier incarnation, but less than a later one. It's that the Atman, which is continuous across lives and perhaps even outside our time system, is learning.
Yes, that is correct.
Are we adding to our sum of achievements as well as of wisdom? You've said that our tasks are not just tests. They are work that really needs to be done, that you need to have done.
This is a complicated subject, but yes, I have work for you to do, and it has to be done. And I need help to do it, and you can help me. You enter the world to take on necessary tasks.
It sounds like the first missions given to rookie soldiers, which need to be done, but also provide valuable training. In fact, it reminds me of the quests mythical heroes are given.
Yes, the latter is especially apt.
So life is a quest.
Let's not get overly literal. It's just a metaphor.
But an apt one?
Yes.
Discussing reincarnation in his book, Philosophies of India, Heinrich Zimmer writes, quote, "It is by doing things that one becomes transformed. Actually living through, to the very limit, a particular role, one comes to realize the truth inherent in the role. Suffering its consequences, one fathoms and exhausts its contents. Knowledge is to be attained, in other words, not through inaction, but through a bold and advertent living of life." End quote. Whether virtuous or criminal, human or animal, one is to live one's life fully to its absolute limit, quote, "until there is finally no space left within him for any darker, inauspicious karmic force." End quote.
That is right. Each life must be lived to the fullest. Each is an exploration, an experiment.
Each life has a truth and has limits?
Yes, and they can be discovered only by living them out.
For the individual or for humankind?
Both. The individual must test these through many lives. That also enriches and educates the total spiritual life of a culture and of humanity. This is also the secret of the diversity of cultures and the diversity of revelations. The multiplicity of cultures is not just a conditioning or limiting factor on revelations. It is itself a necessary diversity for human beings to experience the range of lives, the range of truths.
I assume this applies also to the varieties of spiritual guidance. Some advise the inactive or quiet life of withdrawal from the world, others active lives of various kinds.
Yes, the inactive life is one of the lives that must be explored and has truth and limits.
But how does this relate to your story?
My story is that I live in and through each of these stories, these individual lives. I am intimately connected with them as a helper, as a vicarious partner. My own fate or day waxes or wanes with each individual setback or triumph. This is not just the drama of individuals' lives. This is the drama of my life as well. This is the big drama of it all.
Zimmer speaks of the truth inherent in each role or life.
Yes, every role or life task or mission has a truth and has a falsity in the sense of limitations. Truth here is elliptical for its own inner meaning or sense, its distinctive thrust, just as each work of music or poetry or each athletic event has its own mission, obstacles, keys to success, tendencies to failure, to overreaching or underreaching, facing or failing to face the truth of that mission. Succeed or fail, one learns something, and the universe learns something. Another piece of the puzzle is put into place. Like marking off towns you visited on a trip, another life possibility can be checked off. But more than that, it is added to the ontological quotient or quantum of the universe, of all being.
So each life explores a certain truth?
The word truth is appropriate here, because there is a truth about the situation in each life. And part of the challenge, almost the whole challenge, is to recognize that truth for what it is, to face it, pleasant or unpleasant. It may be the truth of being the child of an alcoholic, or being retarded or disfigured or a weakling, or of having this or that temperament, intelligence, or set of aptitudes and physical features. One has to face it front on and deal with it. If you succeed, the world moves forward. I move forward.
So, Lord, in a sense, everything depends on us?
Individuals do not do this alone. I am with them, whether they know it or not. I am deeply involved and deeply concerned. I help when called upon, and as best I can when not called upon. I live through each individual life, inspiring, guiding, being blocked, whispering, coaching, feeling joy, and suffering.
So one dimension of your story is the personal co-partnering.
Not just one dimension, the crucial dimension.
Thank you for listening to God and Autobiography, the podcast. The words of God are spoken by Jerry L. Martin, who heard the voice. He can be reached at godandautobiography.com. The narration and dialogue of Mr. Martin are spoken by Scott Langdon, who also edited, mixed, and engineered this episode. He can be reached at thescottlangdon.com. You can read the original true story in the book from which this podcast was adapted, God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin, available now at Amazon.com and always at godandautobiography.com. Pick up your own copy today.